Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This podcaster named Sean Allen.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
Thank you for tapping into ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast. Another silly ass, stupid ass podcast, according to the Barbs on Twitter. But that's a whole different story for a whole different show. I got Monet on the mic. In front of the camera, Smile Monet. Tell me, how'd you get that name? Like, why is that your name?
I've had a lot of names on Instagram, but right. I landed with Smile Monet because anytime I'm with my mom, I have a tendency to kind of like zone out and stare out into space, and I can get that resting face really quickly. And so my mom will be like, Smile Monet. And so yeah, that's where that came from.
But you're always smiling.
I am always smiling. So it made sense because it was kind of twofold. I'm like, well, people know me. They know that I'm smiling. And then when I get that resting face, when I zone, I stare off into space and I can look really mean and not mean to. She goes, Smile, Monet. So it's a reminder to myself to smile.
Maybe you need to trademark that.
I probably should.
Some business, you know what I mean? Oh, hey, go do too much. But this is your first time here on the platform. We do icebreakers, and I'm not a music podcast, but we always talk about music.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Who is your Mount Rushmore of music? Your four favorite artists, musicians, producers, songwriters?
honestly, Michael and Stevie are at the top for me.
Michael and Stevie.
They are. And they're neck and neck. I wouldn't pit the two of them together.
Right.
I probably these days, since I've gotten older, just kind of gravitate towards Stevie. And not because Michael's not here, but I can just listen to Stevie for the rest of my life and not listen to anyone or anybody else and be okay.
Wow.
Seriously. Yeah.
So we got two, Stevie and Michael.
Yeah. Stevie and Michael. You know, there's that one artist that's controversial, obviously, because of his transgressions. We won't name the name, but he would have been at the top for me from a producer standpoint musically.
Are you talking about?
I don't know. Some people don't want to say it, so I don't want to say it. But his first initial comes between.
Chicago?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're going to get back to that. And who's the fourth?
Okay. Come back to that, or can I go? Come back to that.
We're going to go back to number three.
We'll go back to number three. Okay, number four, probably, we said artist or producer. I don't think there's anything that New Jack Swing didn't produce that I didn't like.
Wow.
So we'll go with...
Teddy Riley.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I did not know you were tapped in like that.
What you mean? Okay, so do you want me to tell you my age?
No. I'm saying, like, most people, when I ask people that question, they will do the lazy ones, right? They will say Michael, Janet, Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give them range to go into production, songwriter, whatever, but they never name, like, a movement. You're the first person that named an era, New Jack Swing. It's so funny. I was just telling my friend yesterday that the first tape I remember that my parents, I don't know if my parents bought it for me or not, but I had a Walkman. It was a Fisher-Price Walkman. Remember, you know what I'm talking about, too.
Yes.
It was all colorful and shit.
Yes.
I had a heavy D tape. And I used to play it over and over and over. And I always said Teddy Riley's best beat is "We Got Our Own Thing."
Yeah, okay. It's so crazy that you say that, and you're not even gonna believe me. But Heavy D and Father MC, I probably listen to at least one of their songs a couple times a week, easily.
But you
Father
know,
MC didn't have hearing me.
I didn't finished? Know that. I did not know that. That is the best era of New Jack Swing. It was helmed by Teddy Riley, but Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis got in there too and did some great things.
Yes.
I think one of the best New Jack Swing albums is Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation.
Yes.
And this is another thing that people don't kind of get into. All of those songs, like most of those songs in that era, I don't know what year it was. I would say it's from like 87 to probably like 93, 94.
Yes.
They were all like James Brown samples, like chopped up and screwed over and over. So I was thinking, I was like, I wonder what James Brown estate looks like. All those songs were sampled with James Brown sampled. Like that Heavy D song, "We Got Our Own Thing." That was like four or five James Brown songs.
Interesting. Okay, so you telling me something I didn't know.
Yeah. So incredible time for music. I was in diapers, but like I gravitated to that music for whatever reason, right? And then as you got older, you learn about Teddy Riley and who he is and what he meant.
Right.
You know what I mean? Teddy Riley, Babyface, L.A. Reid, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
What a time to be alive. You hear me?
Man.
Time to be alive.
But we're going to go to number three. Your number three is R. Kelly. Okay. Listeners and watchers, you're talking about R. Kelly. As a black woman, I'm going to say that to you. As a black woman, you know where I'm about to go. You still are comfortable to put him on your Mount Rushmore.
It's not a conscious thing. I'm definitely, his music is definitely not in rotation for me today, in these todays. I think for me, when we just start talking about musical talent and musical artistry,
right?
Just in a raw answering your question, I am separating the man from the music. And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Because you're asking me that question as a woman and as a black woman that you expect to answer. But are we also considering his producing capabilities behind other artists, behind the Janets, behind the Tonys? He's behind so many different artists that are not male, that are not singing as salacious as he was, where we automatically attach the man to the action.
Right.
I mean, one of my favorite slow jams of all time is "Anytime, Anyplace" by Janet Jackson, and there are two versions. There's a more acapella. there's a more acapella version, and then there's the version that he did. That is my absolute favorite slow jam of all time. I don't watch that. I don't watch that that video, and I don't listen to that song and think about him at all. So, if we're just talking about the artist, no, I don't stream his music. I'm not listening to it. But at the same time, out of respect for very obvious, it's a touch point for all of us.
Right.
I probably would not go on a platform and write and say or try to defend his music. This is just us talking. So don't come for me. Don't at me, whoever you are.
What I will say, though, is I haven't actively went to listen to R. Kelly's music since he has been put away. And convicted. Mm-hmm. I have not said, "Oh, let me hear that R. Kelly song." I've never done that. I will say that. I don't know if that's conscious or subconscious, but I don't seek his music. But he has so many great songs that he written and produced for other people.
Yes.
I don't think they should take the hit. You know what I mean?
They shouldn't take the hit. I mean, for instance, let's talk about Mary. I'm a Mary stan for sure.
7 days.
Several albums. I mean, we would just have to really just wipe her off.
Right.
And it's impossible. So again, when I listen to Mary, I don't listen. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not listening for that. I'm seeing Mary, the artist. I'm enjoying her songs. I'm jamming.
And we don't know, and then we don't know these people's personal lives anyway. They could be having an underage sex child cult for all we know, and we won't find out until 20 years from now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
But, you know, you can't deny R. Kelly's talent. You can't deny what he's done for Black music and just music in general. And I'm not going to sit on here in front like he wasn't a genius at what he did.
Yeah.
Smart? No, but when it came to music, he knew what he was doing.
Absolutely. Agreed. Okay. Agreed. Good talk.
When you're about to travel, because you travel a lot, is there like a particular type of music you listen to get you like in vacation mode? Like, is there songs that you associate with places? Like, what kind of gets you ready to go when it's time to like travel? Hop on a plane, clock out, travel.
So, we're talking about traveling for leisure.
Correct.
Okay, so traveling for leisure, I really love French music. I love French music. I don't.
You like French?
I started trying to do my Duolingo thing.
And oh, wow.
It kind of fell off. So, you know, then I get back on. I mean, I'm just so busy. I just haven't had time to stay with it consistently. But I love, 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 love French music. It takes me to a place instantly.
Right.
And neck and neck with that. And what got me into French music was Brazilian samba. And
Oh, wow. So
I like Portuguese music as well, particularly Brazilian Portuguese. And I would listen to it on Pandora, and it kept introducing these, you know, these French songs. And then I just ended up getting my own French thing and kind of building a playlist off of that. And so it just opens you up to what is called world music. And so, you know, I'll do my Daft Punk. I'll do my Deadmau5. I mean, like, I'm a myriad of music when it really, really comes down to it.
Yeah. I'm glad I asked you these music questions. I don't understand French like that. My mom speaks French.
Nice.
From Louisiana. So okay. I've always kind of had an interest in it. I love Paris, though. Have you been to Paris, right?
I have been to Paris. I went to Paris once, and I feel like I could live there.
Yeah, of course.
And there's this, not to take away from anything, but there's this show, or there was this show on Netflix called Madeleine in Paris.
Right.
Love it. I watched all of it, and I can't wait till they bring the seasons back. But yeah, I love Paris. I love that finally Paris is getting, you know, put on the map for not just being a European place. There is Black Paris.
Right.
And, you know, Instagram and TikTok has helped kind of bring some awareness and some eyes and visibility to that. And when I say Black Paris, I'm not talking about Americans going to Paris. I'm talking about Black people in Paris that are thriving, that are moving around, that are shifting the culture.
But you do travel a lot. What are like any travel hacks that you kind of, do you have any travel hacks?
Travel hacks? You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't bring my suitcase in my house. Mm-mm.
Why not?
Because airplanes and airports and elevators are nasty. And it's just like wearing shoes in the house. I do not bring my rollerboard in the house at all.
So you leave it outside your door, you spray it down?
I either leave it outside my door and spray it down, or I leave it in the car and just transfer like the dirty clothes and transfer the fresh clothes back. Yeah, I don't bring a suitcase in the house, no.
So nastier than the bathroom suitcase?
You said, I mean, I wouldn't put it in the bathroom because that's where you disrobe and that's supposed to be the cleanest place really in your house when you think about it. Because that's where you are bathing and cleaning yourself, and you should be leaving the dirt in the drain, whatever, the sink drain, the toilet drain, the shower drain. I would not, you know, if I did that, it would have to get carried in and out of there, but no.
So you don't bring your suitcase in the house?
I don't bring my suitcase in the house.
Wow. And I'd be living out of my suitcase for like 3 weeks.
I mean, if I'm in a hotel and I could see where that's like, well, that's kind of a double standard, but it's the hotel. I mean, at that point, it has to be in there, but it stays in an area where I don't be rolling it around.
Are you a germaphobe?
No. I'm going to tell you where it came from. I'm going to just be brutally honest. Before becoming a flight attendant, I did wear shoes in a house. I did bring my suitcases in the house. After being a flight attendant and being on the other side of that, on the not so pretty side of it,
right.
I don't do those things anymore. So I will tell you this, it happened for me probably in 2019. I was in a hotel in an elevator and there was a puddle in the elevator.
Right.
And what I thought would be from the pool, because there were kids down there that were wet and running around, blah, blah, blah. Come to find out they were having a dog convention there. And it was a huge pool of dog urine that I had rolled my bag through. And now this bag has to be rolled into my hotel room. It was from that day forward. I do not bring my bag in the house.
Wow.
Mm-mm. And I stopped wearing shoes in the house because it was mainly the visual of the lavatory, of being in that bathroom.
Right.
I've seen some stuff. I've had to clean up behind some stuff, the whole nine. And so I stopped wearing my work shoes there, my heels and my flats. And it just kind of carried over into all shoes. So,
Wow.
Yeah. My line of work changed that for me.
So are you thinking about making like a guide of what not to do and how to pack and how not, you know what I mean?
No, not really. It's not even something that I've ever really said publicly. I don't know if my friends even know that about me.
Oh, wow.
They just don't see the bag anywhere.
Wow.
It's downstairs in the car.
Now you're making me feel nasty because my ass will like bring my suitcase in and like put it in my living room and like dress out of my suitcase or wash out of my suitcase as I need my whatever I need in there.
I mean,
and now thinking about it, I said that is nasty. Because you're even rolling the suitcase outside on a pavement and then putting it in a house is like, oh, should I really do that?
I mean, here's the thing. Like, on the wheels alone, I've seen, like, hair. And we could just say hair. I was going to say hair that's other people's hair, but clearly it's other people's hair. It's not my hair. And I get really grossed out by hair. That's like DNA. Right. I don't like other people's hair. Like, don't be on my sweater. Don't be on my head. Don't be in my suitcase wheels. I just do not bring my bags in the house. I don't.
Wow. That's something I'm going to keep in mind next time.
Just have a little dedicated area. Even if, you know, like I would take it in the kitchen before I took it in the bathroom.
Right.
Because there's usually an area of the kitchen that's like away from the refrigerator. And you can roll.
Tennis and.
Yeah. You know, like the little mud room area. I just not the house.
What's your favorite like destination place you've been?
Believe it or not, I just like small towns. I found. I know you would probably think I would say international place. I mean, my favorite international place is Brazil. I love Sao Paulo and I love Bahia. Those are my favorite places. If we're talking,
I've never been.
Oh my God, you have to go to Bahia. So I always butcher this. And if I get it wrong, my mom is going to check me. I know she is. But the state of Bahia in Brazil has the largest African
population outside of Africa.
You got to see these people because here's the thing. So the way, I'll just say black and white. I'm not even attaching it to like European or where they're from and where the black person is from. But what we're accustomed to seeing here in these United States is that when black and white mix, they have like usually the golden locks and kind of like the curly hair. And
there's an aesthetic.
What I have witnessed with my own eyes is that how the Spaniards came in and mixed with those African, direct African descendants, they'll be as dark as me and you, if not darker, with like hair the color of clay.
Oh, that's how it was in Colombia.
And blue eyes. And it's just like we don't see that black and white mix stateside. Yeah. It's a different kind of, but man, it's so rich in culture. It's so rich in history. It's just beautiful. You know, I've stood and even danced where Michael Jackson stood and danced. And he had two video versions of the video. They Don't Care About Us, that one where he was doing the dance in the little court area. I mean, it just, Brazil is, just has a special, special place in my heart. It really does. And then my bucket list sidebar is to explore all of the Afro influence on Latin Americas.
So that's the kick I'm on now. Colombia, Honduras, even El Salvador, Mexico. Love Mexico.
Yeah.
We sleep on Mexico.
I have still never been to Mexico. Do you hear me? I'm from Los Angeles, California, South Central LA, can't get no stranger. And I have never.
How you never been to Mexico?
I just, I don't know. Not even Tijuana. I've never been.
You gotta tap in. And if you could buy something there, every time I go to Mexico, it exceeds my expectations. I've never had a bad time in Mexico. I've never had a bad experience in Mexico.
Wow.
I could spend a whole episode talking about Mexico, but I had time for that. Mexico City blew my mind. Wow. It was like Dubai.
Wow.
Mexico City. America does a great job at not showing us Mexico.
America does a great job of not showing any country that they don't really want you to.
I did not, you know what you're getting into when you go to Cabo or Tulum. You get it, right? But like Mexico City, Monterey, completely, I can't even put it into words how like modern. I almost feel like at times Mexico City felt more technical advanced than LA or any city in the United States.
Okay.
Infrastructure, skyscrapers. It was just crazy.
Really?
You got to tap into Mexico and it's cheap.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think another reason why Mexico is such an easy place for me to go to, besides it being so close, is that we're just so familiar with like the culture and the food.
We are.
We really don't have to make any concessions. Like we could eat anything. We could speak the language or we know the gestures. We know the colloquialisms because we're from LA.
Yes. So
it's just, you don't have to worry about food at all because we eat it anyway.
Yes.
So, and saying that, you don't have to spend money on food there because we eat it anyway. So it's like, there's not like, the food is bomb there, but you don't go there for food. Well, we don't go there for food.
Right.
So that cuts your travel budget significantly because you're not, you know what I mean? But I can go on and on about it. So, but you said small towns, so like what small towns?
So my favorite small town is Dubuque, Iowa. I know.
Why?
You know what? It just feels, I'm not from a small town.
Right.
And I'm so used to hustle and bustle in life every day. I've lived in New York. I live in Chicago now, obviously being from Los Angeles. It just feels like you're off the wheel and it's just calm and it's quaint. And it's cute and it's quiet. I don't know that I could live there. The homes are really beautiful. They overlook the bluff of the Mississippi River, I believe that is. And I just fell in love with it. I used to fly for a regional carrier. So we flew the tiny planes that go into the smaller cities. So I was at an advantage because I got to see places like, Dubuque, Iowa, and, random places in Michigan that other people don't go, you just hear about the big cities, Detroit and all that. And those planes, go into some random towns. And probably right behind that, I like Norfolk, Virginia.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's a number of reasons why you probably connect with Norfolk. A lot of our music came out of Norfolk and Virginia Beach. But like, I've never heard anyone say that I hear bad things about Norfolk. What did you love about Norfolk?
Same. The culture, the music, and it's still just, it feels like that get off the wheel. It just slow down for a minute and just enjoy. I mean, my experience with people were that they were nice. They were kind. I mean, they said hello, and you walk down the street and you see somebody and you kind of tipping your hat like, hey, and I'm like, hey. When you're in a big city, it tends to just lend itself to just two ships passing in the night and nobody's really paying attention. So it's nice for a minute when you feel like these people probably don't all know each other, but it feels like that to me.
Right.
So,
wow. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't live there though.
You know what? To be brutally honest, I think I could live just about anywhere.
Well, you can because you're from LA.
Because I'm from LA? Is that why you think so?
They say if you can make it in LA, you can make it anywhere.
That's what they say about New York. I've never heard that in LA. But I'm also from there, so I wouldn't, I don't be having that conversation with anyone.
What part of LA are you from?
I'm from South Central Los Angeles.
What part of South Central?
Let's see. Slauson and Crenshaw.
Okay.
On 8th Avenue.
Okay.
Is where I probably spent, I was third grade, so however old you are in third grade, until about 14, we moved to Gardena.
Okay.
But I was born in the jungles, which would be right over there behind Crenshaw Mall. We used to walk across that alley, and I used to go to that school right across the street from, it's a little crab shack thing there now, by the Crenshaw YMCA. Like, I'm from Los Angeles.
The jungles ain't what it was.
No, I know. Oh.
And you said 8th Ave, so that's like High Park, Leimert Park, Crenshaw High?
Not High. Leimert is further north, but 8th Ave between 60th and Slauson. So literally right around the corner from the Marathon store. Literally.
Okay.
Right around the corner on the east of Crenshaw, in the houses back off in there for a long, long time.
You guys still own your house over there?
No.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like driving over there and it's just like, it's still predominantly black, but it leaves like white people. I'm just like, fuck. I understood Baldwin Hills, but you kind of in the trenches now and y'all over here just, man. But I love my city though. And
absolutely.
The thing with gentrification is the area needed help.
Yeah.
Or did it not?
I don't know. Okay, so when you say help, I assume that you were going to qualify that statement. I don't know that I would say that the area needed help so much as its residents needed the education of don't sell the house and here's why.
Right.
By the time we started saying don't sell grandma's house, by the time we started saying that, it was kind of too late. Yeah. It was too late. It just was. It was too late. And so they've been sitting just waiting in the background like, okay, she about to die. He don't know no better. We going to offer him a bag and he going to take this bag and then we going to come in here and slap it up together real quick and sell it for $1 million.
Right. I'm over here now and I'm from South Bay, Gardena, Torrance. Okay. That was all up and down Crenshaw though my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But I live over here now and I've been over here for about 2 years and it changed so much since I've been here. And it's just like, some people will say I'm a part of the problem because I'm paying the rent that people from the area can't. People who are from Leimert Park can't afford to rent an apartment here. But here I come in from North Hollywood and I'm able to pay the rent. And, you know, the people from here can't afford to live over here anymore.
That's I don't know if I agree with that statement.
Because rent goes up everywhere, right?
Yeah, it does. And at the end of the day, I need some place to live. So I'm not going to feel guilty about where I choose to live. And we'll talk about that a little bit as we segue into, you know, my experience here in Chicago. But no, I don't think I agree with that. I mean, if you can own, then you should make strides towards doing that.
Right.
But if you are renting, I mean, I've been a renter. I've never been a homeowner. And any place that I've lived or wherever I move, I treat it as if I'm an owner. I'm not going to throw trash in the back if the trash is piling over. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? I'm a part of helping keep the building with care because I live here. It doesn't matter if I own or rent. I'm also that person that was going to, you know, the community meetings. You wouldn't have known I wasn't an owner. It didn't matter. I was going up to the ones in Ladera too, because I wanted to know what they were doing. As gentrification was happening and coming, and as you are blocking Black people from the access that they need to fair housing, yeah, I want to know what's going on. So I went right in there as a renter and set up in there like, hello, I'm here. Yes. May I have a bonbon, please? I did.
What I will say, and what I want to clarify what I said when I said help. But crime has changed, right? Like, the gangs are not what they were when we were coming up. You know what I mean? You kind of, some people will say you do, but I would challenge that. You know, I don't worry about what colors I wear when I walk out the house. You know what I mean? Probably 5-10 years ago, I would have been conscious of that. But now it's just different, right?
It is.
And I think the neighborhoods in South Central changing with these white people moving in, I think that changed the crime and the way crime is. We're not shooting each other like we were growing up. You know what I mean? And I think that that's a partial result of the change that we're seeing in these neighborhoods, because the policing is now different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
This is a loaded conversation. But that was kind of, because that sounds stupid when I said that we needed to change. No.
Well, no, it didn't sound stupid.
But you know what I mean? Like, you have to clarify.
Yeah.
Because I know my listeners going to be, but, you know, the crime is different. There's still gangs. There's still the riffraff happening or whatever. But it's not as prevalent as it was when we were coming up. You know what I mean?
Yes, and, I do.
I think that the change that we are seeing in these neighborhoods are changing the crimes that we bestow upon each other. Because we're conscious of the change now. We're conscious of change. We see that people are coming into our neighborhoods and taking over. So we're like, okay, we ain't gonna trip on somebody that look like me anymore, because they're trying to push us out. So I think that just consciously changed.
That's a part of it, yeah. For sure.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But Chicago, you're in Chicago, and offline we were speaking about how you said that Chicago is not as progressive, the Black Chicago. I don't want to put words in your mouth. How do we have that conversation we had?
Well, we were just talking about whether or not I like to live in here. I don't. I'm sorry, respectfully. I feel like, so I didn't say that Black Chicago is not as progressive. I said Chicago, for me, is not as progressive.
Right.
Being from Los Angeles, living in New York, you know, obviously you and I both have had some world views because we've traveled. So I'm not just being one-sided, like, oh, people always ask me, well, how do you like Chicago compared to LA? There's no comparison. I don't even have that conversation. I don't compare them. It's not apples to apples. It's not a fair conversation. But I do, I just feel like it's, let's just talk for a second about Black Chicago. For it to be so widely, hugely populated with Black people, and for them to all be in a concentrated area, how are we calling this one of the Blackest cities in the nation? How?
Right.
And I know that they're just going by raw numbers, but that's like saying I have a crayon box. This is a bad example, I guess, but I have a crayon box and the box is filled, you know, I have red crayons, but all the red crayons are in one corner and the sole green crayon is over here. How are we calling that a red crayon box? I guess I'm not even saying it correctly, but all I'm saying is like,
I get it what you're saying. In LA, okay, so in LA, Black people, in numbers, there's a low population, but south of the 10 freeway in LA, all the way down to San Pedro, that's about 20 mile span. That's a largely Black community. Cities, Gardena, Hawthorne, South Central, Black, predominantly Black area. But you go to Westwood, you go to Hollywood, you go to the Valley, North Hollywood, there's Black people in these
spaces. Absolutely.
Everywhere you go in LA, there's Black people. It may be a handful,
absolutely,
maybe a lot, it may be just one. But mm-hmm. there's always Black people that's mm-hmm. occupying every space you're in L.A.
Correct.
And then in Chicago, they have a larger Black population in numbers, but the Black people, it's segregated and they don't.
They're all in one section. Yes. And I keep being told when I say I want to have a Black experience, I don't have a Black experience. I'm used to leaving out my heart. I was living.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
In Inglewood for many years before I moved to Chicago. And, you know, I come out of my house, I go to the 7-Eleven, I go to the Starbucks, I go to the gas station, wherever I'm going in my commute to wherever I'm going, I see plenty of Black people. And when I see them here, unfortunately, I live up north, what they consider up north, because the divide is downtown. So if you live north of downtown, you live up north. If you live south of downtown, you live out south. And the beginning of the South Side to however far it spans is the Black population, the Black community. It's like telling me I have to go from Inglewood to Long Beach before I can get the Black access to a Black population. I'm not driving to Long Beach just to go see Black people. I'm not used to doing that. I don't have to do that. But here, that's kind of my experience. And so recently, you know, I had some guests in town, and we were down on Michigan Avenue, you know, down in downtown and in some of the tourist areas and things of that nature. And I stopped and approached these two girls, and I was asking them. They were like the door persons or security at the door or whatever of this museum where we were. And they were like, oh, yeah, we don't go out there. We don't go out that way. Then there's that. The mindset is that whatever the functioning is that happens, I eat, sleep, breathe, function, they don't come past Chicago, past downtown to come on to the other side. I'm not saying none of them do. Right. I'm saying as a totality, those are the conversations that when I've had conversations with people here in Chicago and with people there in LA that are from Chicago that left, they're like, oh yeah, you live in the wrong place. Do I? My neighborhood is nice. It's like, it's comparable to like a Westwood, like I told you when we were chatting a little bit. But even if I went to Westwood and was hanging out in the Village, I'm going to see Black people.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, oh my God, a Black person.
Right.
I don't see it here in Chicago. And I've been often asked, well, why did you even move up north? People who come to Chicago typically automatically start in Hyde Park. That's kind of like, I kind of compare Hyde Park to Leimert Park. Hyde Park is where, you know, Barack Obama's from, et cetera. But I work out of O'Hare. So it wouldn't have made sense for me to move to Hyde Park. That's like 30 miles away from the airport.
Right.
I landed where I landed, and I moved according to work because I came here for work. I didn't come here to just like, oh, any, meeny, miny, mo, this is where I want to live. And so, you know, I've little by little moved more south, but I'm still very much on the north side. And, you know, it kind of bothers me a little bit that just on a day to day, I don't see Black people. I don't have that opportunity to really interact. And then when I do, when I'm on the plane, the vibe I get is, you know, where we from, I'm from, you from, is when we see another Black people, there's a sense of like instant familiarity, like, what's up? You know what I mean? Like, hey, whether it's old or young, I don't get that out here in Chicago at all. When I do see them, I kind of light up like, hi, you know, and I'm real good for like, hey, friend. And I'm just kind of met with like.
Oh, yeah. Well, I get that when I was living in New York. But New York is different. New York, I love New York, but they would say, oh, you're too chatty. You're not from here. You're too chatty.
Yes.
You're from Jersey or California. So I'm from California.
Yes.
So the attitude, you know. But yeah, go ahead. Back to what you were saying.
No. That was all I was saying. So
what
I don't
about, like
I don't
the bar. Like, do they have like clubs, bars, like stuff like that? That like, you know, we got everyday people here to do over.
What is that? This is what I find that I hear a lot about when I'm asking what to do, where do I go, and things of that nature. Chicago has festivals, which they're known. Chicago period is known for festivals. So I don't want to name any because I don't want to be attacked like I'm you know, pulling whatever. I'm not pulling teeth, but there's major festivals that happen here that are catered to everything from food to Black people to different, you know, the small little, how they have in New York boroughs. They have these little towns, little areas here, and they have this fest and that fest and this fest and that fest. I'm not really a festival girl. I don't like large crowds like that.
Right.
I want to function. I'm like, where is the do-over? Where is Cherry Poppin' Wednesdays? Where is, you know what I mean? All I keep being told, and there's another half of Black Chicago that tells me to stay away from the South Side. Why are you over there? And I'm like, because sometimes I'll do Uber Eats and stuff like that. So I get in my car like, like, I'm from South Central. What you mean? Yeah, I could go deliver.
That's one thing we didn't do here, and we don't do here in L.A., Black people who live in Woodland Hills would not tell a Black person to not go to South Central. That's the first thing they're going to tell you is go to Leimert Park.
This is what I'm saying. Yes. So all I keep hearing is go to Hyde Park, go to Hyde Park. And Hyde Park is cool, but Hyde Park is still one place. If you came here, I'm like, go to Beverly Hills, go to Baldwin Hills, go to here, go to there. People want to go to Watts. I'm like, why? What do you want in Watts? I can take you there, though. But what do you want? I mean, even with that, there's some places that we could take people in, wherever, Compton, Watts, the East Side, whatever. I mean, there are places that we can take people. Here, I'm just hearing it's out south. And I'm like, out south where?
Wow.
And it's the same. I hear the same places that I'm supposed to go. And when I've gone to these places, I mean, I'm beyond the club years, right, to be honest. Probably a little bit beyond the lounge years too. I'd rather just go have a nice glass of wine somewhere and just vibe out with some good music.
Right.
I haven't found it here. When the people who I've connected with has been like, let me take you here, let me take you there, and I've gone, I'm kind of like.
How long have you been in Chicago?
December will be 4 years.
Wow.
And I do not feel connected to the city at all. And I mean, I'm so glad that we kind of started with the travel conversation, because it couldn't be said like, well, have you gotten out and seen anything? I have. And I'm not bashing it at all. But I will say, so let's remove LA from the equation. When I lived in New York and I moved there sight unseen, I went there 5 days for a wedding, loved it, and convinced me, one of my homegirls, like, girl, let's move to New York. And we sublet a place and just moved to New York. No jobs lined up or nothing. This was in 2006.
Right.
And I would, no lie, I would literally be walking down the street and people would be on the stoop. I lived in the Bronx while I was there. I lived in Harlem and we lived in Brooklyn. Right. We'd be walking down the street and people would be like, yo, we having a cookout. You want to come up? It was really like, oh, okay. Or I'd be on a train and the police would talk to me, you know, trying to like, holler, like, what's up? Or I'd be walking down the street, you know, going to my destination, maybe walking to the train or something. And most def would just be like in the park, you know, like rocking the park, just random. Right, it was always something to fall into. I didn't have to say, let me go to this neighborhood. Let me go to this.
That's how New York is. That's what I loved about New York.
I was talking to
the other day. I was here I would like to go out. I would like to leave my house by myself because I will always see a friend group somewhere.
Yes.
I'll be with them for a few hours, then bounce to the next spot and see a friend group there. That's how New York is, though.
So that's how LA is for me. I feel like LA is like, pull back the, roll out the red carpet, pull out the velvet rope. And I'm super humble. I stay very low key. I don't bother nobody. People usually don't know this, but I usually move around by myself in LA.
Right.
Because there's rarely any place I can go in LA and not run into people I know. Right. And I'll function with them and then I'll hop in my car and I'm on to the next spot. I'm missing that here. I'm lacking that community here. I want it so bad too. But my work is a part of that. I will say, you know, it's a little tough. You know, the flight attendant life is a very lonely life. So we'll see, you know, we'll see.
If you had it your way, where would you be living?
Back in Los Angeles. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And you know what? After leaving and being gone so long, this is the longest I've been gone out, I probably wouldn't even like be like, oh, I just want to live in Inglewood and woo. I could probably live on the outskirts like Carson or Long Beach or, you know what I mean? I probably could do North Hollywood. Like, I could probably even go further out by the 118 because I've lived there. I've lived in that life. Like, I know I know what it is. I don't have to like live in Inglewood to experience the culture. I don't have to be in any one particular city to experience the culture of LA. Right. I don't have to. And I miss it so much. I thrive it so much, desire it so much that I don't think I just, it's like, oh, if I'm in Gardena, I'll be cool. Oh, if I literally just want to move back to Los Angeles County, you know?
Okay. So is it one of those things like you've always loved LA, right? You've never been one of those weird people to be like, I hate it. I don't want to leave. But did going to Chicago make you appreciate home so much more?
Yes, because I remember when I was on my way out, and let's not forget to talk about moving from LA and that transition. But when I was on my way out, I was feeling like the dating pool was a little stale for me.
Right.
And I was like, and then, you know, I got to Chicago and I haven't really had the best experiences either. I'm still single. And I lost my thought. What was your question?
Did moving from LA to Chicago, spending time in Chicago, make you appreciate Chicago or LA?
Yes. Yes. Because when I moved here, I was under the impression I knew nothing about about Chicago. It was my base. So I got based here. I was told to come here if you want the job.
Right, right.
I thought Chicago was like New York. I just thought that. I've never been here, had never passed through here, nothing. Never been in Chicago. Just moved here in the winter, sight unseen, like, let's go. It's nothing like New York. I thought I was going back to something that I had experienced before. So I do miss, and it'll literally be, as soon as I touch down at LAX, I'll just be in the airport and I'll always see people I know. And I'm not talking about attached to work at all. I just literally from that second. And when I get to whatever my first stop is, it's like love instantly. And I miss that. I'm a social butterfly. I won't call myself a socialite. That sounds like Paris Hilton. I'm by no means a socialite, but I definitely have and love and enjoy a very active social life. Yes, I miss that. I appreciate
it. How is it dating in Chicago?
You know what? I don't have anything negative to say about it as if it attaches itself to Chicago. I will say I've had the same experiences here that I have there. So I'm not going to make some like declaration that the men are this and that. I will say that I do follow a lot of, you know, like Chicago based pages, some of them being more the uplifting voice and maybe one or two of them being ratchet Chicago. So I can see. And the consensus that I hear when I read through comments is that the people who are here don't want to be here and they really want to get out.
Wow. So that's a whole other.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've read on some of these pages, like, that's why I got my kids out. That's why I left. That's why I this, that's why I that. And when family and loved ones call me to check on me because they saw something on the news about Chicago, they're usually talking about something that occurred on the South Side.
Wow.
The people that are there don't seem to really want to be here. And that's just been my experience. And they're looking for a way out. And either they can't afford it or this is my life. Or I mean, I feel like L.A. is the same way. It can sink its teeth into you. And that whole to live and die in L.A. mentality. I remember when that song first came out, I was rocking with it. But the reality of it is, like, I wouldn't want to live and die in L.A. and not having seen something else.
Right, right, right.
I would encourage anybody and everybody. I think one of the things we had talked about that you would have asked is, what would you tell people that they need to do, your listeners, that they need to do immediately? Get out and travel and see something outside of where you've been and what you know, whatever city you're from. You know, we're primarily talking to Los Angeles viewers and surrounding area, I imagine. But I don't care how bomb your life is, how much money you making. It's something more to life than big cars, fast cars, nice cars, rims. That ain't even a thing out here. It's not. Like, our weather is so unpredictable. Literally yesterday, the rain was so torrential. I was driving to the airport. We all had to slow down. I'm talking about where it looked like the sky just, like somebody was just pouring a pitcher of water straight over my head.
Wow.
Windshield wipers couldn't even go fast enough. And I'm not saying that no one's out here flossing, but that's not a thing. I don't hear the music blasting boom, boom, boom down the street. I miss that. You know what I mean? I miss, you know, flossing all through Long Beach. Daisy Dukes gets props. Hair and nails fresh from the shop. You know what I mean?
Summertime in LBC.
I'm just saying, like, it's not, the vibe isn't here for me. And maybe it's because I have the mentality of where I've grown up from. I feel like I want the South Side to spread out, like spread out a little bit and see, right. You know, there's more to Chicago than just the South Side. Let's open some businesses, you know, that are not solely over there. Nothing wrong with the South Side. I'm not bashing it. I haven't had any poor experiences over there, you know, from a danger standpoint. I haven't seen what they say happens. I haven't even seen it. I don't just be functioning standing on a block either. But I haven't seen it.
What about the cost of living? Is it expensive out there?
Yes. Chicago nickels and dimes on everything. They have a sugar tax, and I love my candy. They have a water tax. They, you know, I don't give me the quote what the taxes are right now, just the general state tax and the city tax. And then they have the little boxes, you know, I don't know if all of LA has implemented this yet. But do you guys still have quarter meters, quarter nickel dime meters for parking?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't have that at all. So what happens is you have an app on your phone. You say how long you're going to stay at parking. It charges you the parking plus the service fee. And then if you don't stay for that period, you just lose the money. So if you pull up behind me like we would in Inglewood or something, and it's like, hey, you know, I see his money on that meter. You look for the little flash, and if it ain't flashing, you're going to pull into that space and take advantage of that money on the meter. You can't do that here in Chicago.
Oh, wow. So you don't know if the space is paid for or not.
It doesn't matter. They go up to the little box, and they're looking for your plate. You can't pay for somebody else's space. Your time is your time. If they have a minimum on the time, some places you park, they have a minimum. So you can't even be like, oh, I'm only be here for 20 minutes. The minimum is an hour. You got to pay for an hour.
Wow.
You know you're not going to be there for an hour. Somebody else could pull up before the hour's even over. They got to pay again an hour, whether they're going to be there an hour or not. So that's just, I mean, Chicago nickels and dimes on everything. Nobody believes me when I tell this story. I don't know if you know the story or not, but Chicago has these... the camera tickets. And my understanding is that in LA, they outlaw those camera tickets because somebody was in a car with someone that wasn't their spouse. And when they sent the camera ticket in the mail, it caused like an issue. And, you know, in California, we could sue for anything. And they sued right. And they won because that was their likeness, their picture. And he was in a car with a woman that wasn't his wife or whatever. So I was there, still living there when they took all those cameras off. So here in Chicago, they don't police traffic. The cameras will catch you. And they'd be like, they'll send you a ticket in the mail for something enormous for like a mile over. In LA, we could do 10 miles over the speed limit.
Right.
In LA, if a cop pulls us over, we could be like, hey, Mr.
Officer. Cop is not even pulling you over out here for speeding anyway. The cop is not pulling you over for speeding.
Why they not?
I've never got a speeding ticket in LA. I got tickets for parking. Everybody get parking tickets. I got tickets for for doing the California stop.
Stop and roll.
Yeah.
They give you their camera.
I got speeding tickets on a freeway, but like in the IE or somewhere. But I haven't got I've never got a speeding ticket in the city of LA.
God bless you.
How do you speed? You can't speed in LA. Where do you speed at?
For starters, I used to drive a Mini Cooper stick shift, and I found a way.
With the traffic?
Yeah.
You were swooping in and out.
I mean, I've been redeemed. But yeah, I used to get speeding tickets all the time back in my day.
Wow.
Not anymore. Now I drive like a granny because the speed limit is 30. Because we're so pedestrian heavy. So they ride those little motorized unicycles. They ride in the Lime scooters, they roller skating, they riding bikes, like they're really, really heavy on that here. So the average miles per hour on the regular street service is 30.
Oh, and the camera's catching you if you go over.
Yes, and it's a very expensive ticket. So I don't even speed now because I'm like 30 is nothing. But if you are going 1 minute over, 1 mile over the speed limit, the camera will be like boop, 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 and you'll get a thing.
What about the cost of like rent and like housing? How much, like, how is that?
So I don't think so. For sure, to buy a house here and buy a house there, it is more expensive in California to buy a house than it is in Los Angeles than it is in Chicago. However, the HOA fees are why I keep hearing that people are like losing their homes here. And the HOA fees would be like $800 off top.
Wow.
Like something ridiculous, like a whole additional mortgage payment, these HOA fees. And they charge for everything. They charge for parking, whether you owning. I've never, you know, literally when I factored in how much I could afford for rent, I had to factor in $200 or $300 for parking a month.
Wow.
It's more expensive. I mean, here I live in a smaller unit than what I was living in LA than I've ever lived in LA, for sure, to be honest. In Chicago.
You don't have rent control, so your rent goes up.
So people are leaving, you know, there's this huge, you know, this massive exodus every summer because they go up on a rent $200-$400. It's not it's not controlled by anything unless you're under some government subsidized situation.
Even an older place, it's not, there's no rent control at all, even for an old,
I mean, I don't know. That's not been the situation. I mean, I'm not going to say that some mom and pop that own their building that's just been letting people live in there kind of deal. But they're still doing what they want to do with their building. That's not the norm. In LA, it is more, well, it used to be. I've been gone for 4 years, but it was more of the mom and pops. You can just, when I was looking for apartments in LA, you know what I used to do? You get up early in the morning and look for who's watering the grass out front in the building. That's the owner.
Or a little rent sign.
For rent.
With a marker.
That's not a thing here.
Wow.
No. That's not a thing here. And there's, I haven't seen, you know how like Westside Rental has the monopoly on like, there's 80 million Westside Rentals out here. Everybody has the monopoly on it. You can't just like walk up to a place and be like, hey, is this for rent? Because it's a rent sign. They don't do that like that here.
You got to go through a service. Obviously, you're going to pay a premium price because you're going through a service.
Yeah. And I mean, they have their Craigslist, but you have to learn how to kind of filter through foolishness. And ain't nobody got time for that. I just rather go through a management company. Either you're going through a management company or you're going through a broker. That's what you're doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder what the pay looks like there. Not for your job, but I'm saying like, does the economy support the cost of living out there? You know what I mean?
I don't really know. I can't speak to that. What I can speak to is that what they call a sublease is not a sublease because the sublease person still has to apply and pay the move-in fee. So they don't do deposit, but they do move-in and administrative fees, which usually can equal $400 for one and $400 for the other, plus the first month of rent.
Oh.
Yes. I'm like, what is this? What is the admin fee? This is a sublease. What's an admin fee?
Oh, yeah, that's different.
I'm telling you, Chicago nickels and dimes everything at the end of the day to live.
Out here in LA, you're paying your application fee, whatever that is, and then you're going to pay
$75
or rent or the first or
the first deposit. And last.
Yeah. Do you get that money back if you don't get the apartment?
When I first got here, somebody didn't give it back to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. When I first got here, somebody didn't get it. Well, fortunately, it was only the $400 administrative fee. And then some places, they also make you pay. They make you pay the rent up front just to apply with the application. And then if you don't get it, they give you your money back in 30 days. That's a common practice here, too. You holding up $2,000 plus of my money for 30 days while I got to go find another. Chicago is different. And that's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about when I say we're not progressive. Like, what are we doing? And then, you know, to kind of get a little bit on fashion, which is like my, you know, one of my personal passions, something I love. I'm very expressive through my clothes. When I go into these stores, and I don't care if your followers come at me for this, this one I don't care. I'm gonna hold up my torch until they bury me. Not literally. It's muted. It's not color. There's no color in the stores. I'm talking about some of the same brands that we shop at there. I come here and I'm just like, I've tried to find like bright orange, winter coats, yellows, green, you know, bright. You can't find it. Everything is gray, brown, you know. And I'm like, we're in the winter. Where in a minute, all of this behind me is white. None of this is, you know what I mean? So I want to walk out rocking like a lime green, real winter coat, though. I don't, you right. know, to try to bring something into just this. Everything is white. Everything is gray. I miss the colors of stucco houses. You drive down the street in L.A., in North Hollywood, and anywhere. The houses are pink and red and yellow and green. And somebody was saying to me, it sounds gaudy. I'm like, that's L.A. That's L.A. Out here, everything is brick and tan and brown and stone and, you know, rust and wow. gray. And I'm just like, and for someone like me, whose mind, I see color in the world, to not see it out here starts to affect my mood. Sometimes it lends itself wow. to depression, you know. So I really have to work really hard to just keep myself like rooted and uplifted. And I, you know, at least in New York, because they're kind of brick city too, but New York has a lot of murals and.
Oh yeah, New York is different. New York is just, the energy is just magnetic.
The people are colorful people there. Yeah.
I'm a coffee drinker. I am a Red Bull person, energy drink. When I was in New York, I didn't have to do any of that because the energy was just
yes
in your face.
Yes. You
walked outside.
Yes.
It's like, yes. damn. It would happen so much in New York. I would leave the house. I'm going to be gone for a few hours. I end up being gone to 2-3 o'clock in the morning. So I left my house at 10 o'clock to go to, you know, Harlem Food Bar for breakfast or whatever, brunch. End up coming back home at 2 o'clock in the morning because it was just so much energy.
Yes.
Which is so in New York.
I believe that. I certainly believe that.
LA would give you that too. You gotta drive though, but
I mean driving is not it's nothing. And then there's that, you know, I've met some guys and they're like, oh yeah, I live out south. And it's like kind of an issue to get us to meet up. Cause like people don't drive. Like, I'm not saying people don't drive, but they're not going 14 miles. And I'm kind of like, let's go. You know, if it's what I want, let's go. Cause I'll drive to North Hollywood if my favorite ice creamery is out there.
Right.
Because that's in LA, everything's so spread apart. You have to drive.
Wow.
I just feel like, you know, the mind state is I can kind of find it out there or I can find it in downtown. And for me, I'm like, where is it in Chicago? Because I'm going to go. And I've even driven outside of Chicago and been, you know, some farmlands, just going random places, just trying to, you know, see how far I can go and see some other parts of Illinois outside of Chicago. It's just not for me. It was cool, the experience, but it's not for me. I've driven to Wisconsin.
The lake is not cool.
Huh?
Don't the lake is not cool?
Yeah, it's beautiful, but I don't want a man-made beach. I want the Pacific Ocean with sand and a strand.
Right.
Plus, the lake freezes up in the winter, and we have about 6 months of winter. Last year, winter was, I think it started for us in like November, and come April for sure. It was still cold. I had put my coats away and it was like, oh, wait a minute. That's a long winter. It's a long winter.
Give me a positive thing about Chicago.
Has it sounded like I'm not saying anything positive? I'm sorry.
No.
You know what? You were asking me about the food offline. The food is everything that it should be. Okay. I mean, you can find any kind of cultural food from, I mean, Lebanese to any kind of culture you could possibly think of, you can eat it and find it here and find it being made by, you know, the authenticity of the food is its people.
What about the Mexican food?
I don't like the Mexican food in Chicago. It's a no for me. And I actually heard that Chicago has a larger Mexican population than it does in LA.
Nah, that can't be true.
Somebody told me that. I've heard that a couple of times. I've heard and read that a couple of times.
Why would they have the larger population?
I don't understand it. They don't share a border. I'm like, wouldn't Texas? You can tell me Texas has a larger population. You can't, but they do. They do. They have a very large population here.
Oh, wow.
I don't like the Mexican food here. I don't like the Mexican food here. Period. I'm going to just leave it at that. But back to positive things about Chicago. It's beautiful, 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 beautiful in the holiday season. Amazing. It's just rich. It's electric. You can feel it. It's cold. But I love it here in November and December.
And they got an incredible skyline.
Incredible skyline. And I don't know. I really feel like Chicago's skyline is better than New York. I know they be
coming. Oh, it is. It is. It is. It definitely is. New York has more buildings, but Chicago got more higher buildings than.
And Chicago has some of the most beautiful sunsets I have ever, ever seen in my life. Anywhere. Sunset. It'll be a great day all day, and the sun will come out just to set. No lie.
Chicago got great music. Kanye.
Chicago has amazing music.
Yeah.
Chicago has amazing music. House music scene. I've been able to experience really the connection between gospel and house music here in Chicago.
Oh, wow, yeah.
There's a huge, I don't think I really knew that so much before coming here. So I definitely appreciate like how the gospel music has inspired a lot of the house music. It has.
Right. I feel like I kind of knew that. And the juking is fast, like oosh, oosh, oosh.
Yeah.
Like black people shit.
Did the percolator start in Chicago?
No, that's Baltimore. You're out there for your career. So, you know, after we do what we're supposed to do with our career, go to the next chapter, you'll be where you want to be. And that's back home.
I don't know. I mean, like you said, when we were chatting before, LA will always be there.
Right.
You know, I initially left because I was doing the Black Business Tour stuff and I wanted to kind of look into expanding that into other cities. So that's why I became a flight attendant. And then COVID put a wrench in all of that. And I still desire to get back to the Black Business Tour stuff. But I could quickly see that here in Chicago, that wasn't going to work. And it's not because of Black Chicago. I will say because of the weather and the type of city it is, that kind of thing couldn't work. So I don't know. My final resting place is not Chicago, but I'm not really sure how and when I'm going to get back to LA.
Right.
We'll see.
And give us a briefing of what the Black Business Tour is.
The Black Business Tour was birthed out of a need for, I wanted to connect the people who wanted to support businesses of owned by Black-owned businesses and those who wanted to support them. I was creating events around connecting them. And I was hoping at the time to not fight gentrification because it was absolutely happening. It has happened. It is still happening. I just wanted to give those Black-owned businesses in Los Angeles a fighting chance to be able to thrive as this, you know, change was happening in every single neighborhood and community of color. That's why I started. I'm still very passionate about that, too.
Yeah, we're definitely going to reactivate that when we get finished doing what we're doing. There's always going to be a need for that, you know, and that's giving back. That's intentional. That's helping all of us. So I'll be excited for that reactivation and I'll be here to help you.
Oh, you know? I appreciate that.
Definitely. You know, I would. You know, I would.
Sean Allen.
And Monet, what should our listeners and viewers do ASAP?
ASAP, travel, go somewhere, get out of your city, get out of your community, and go explore another city and another community. Stat.
What she said, and again, thank you for tapping into ASAP. I'm Sean Allen. Make sure you follow wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, write a review. See you guys on the next one.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.